Welcome back into the studio. I'm Eric C. Jackson. This is where I usually like to start the podcast, which is on my website, ericcjacksonstudio.com. I have moved recently, so I'm just testing everything out to make sure that that everything works okay. But yeah, my background is completely different now. The room's totally different room. So yeah, I'm still in the same city, but I moved into, well, I would say a nicer part of town. So a nicer part of town, the space in it isn't as big, but it's a lot closer to everything that I, as far as shopping and that type of thing. I get to avoid the highways, interstate highways quite a bit. So there's that. All right, so for this podcast, as you guys can see, my focus is on confidence. When you have a goal, or if you're like me, if you had a really difficult starting point, all self-inflicted wounds. And so that's just part of my story, is going into my adulthood, late teens, early 20s. I made plenty of mistakes and just things that I should have done, I didn't do. I wasn't very mature, very responsible. So that sort of created a domino effect for, you know, everything that I'm, everything that I had to deal with and am still dealing with to this day. But one of the things that has really helped me on this journey is just to understand how I got to where I was back then, late teens, early 20s, and then how to improve, you know, where I am right now. But as I was thinking about the podcast, I was just thinking, like, what do I want to talk about? And just the idea of guarding your confidence is huge. Because growing up, I just didn't have a lot of confidence. I didn't have a healthy level of self-esteem. I didn't have that. And so I allowed people to shape the view that I had of myself. You know, I allowed the wrong people to shape the view I had of myself, and long after they were gone, you know, I carried that, you know, into my late teens and then into, you know, adulthood. So that's something that I encourage people to do. Is to guard your confidence. Because at first I didn't have any goals. You know, I didn't have any just ambition, drive, you know, what do you want to What do you want to be when you grow up? That type of thing. I didn't know. I didn't have a direction, a compass on where I wanted to go, how I wanted to get there. And so pretty much high school, going into adulthood, I was just wherever the wind blew. That's where I was. And of course, it's not the best place to be, but it's like graduating high school, I didn't have a sense of direction where I wanted to go. And then I signed up to go into the army, which I ended up backing out of because I knew I didn't want to go in that direction. Going into the military just felt like a loss of control over my own life, which is basically what it is. Like, you have to give, your life away. And that's something that I just didn't want to do, right? Now, in terms of direction, I knew that my life would be stable, but where my life would go was up to someone else. And that's something that I didn't want to give that power, that control away. I just didn't want to do that. So they're really upset because I took a test. You're in high school, you take the test, and they test all sorts of just what you can grasp onto. And apparently I did really well on the test because I had the Army, the Air Force. I mean, I had recruiters calling me once they got my test scores. But again, it's like control. That's been a big thing with me. And of course they were upset, and then one of the last recruiters I talked to, when I told him no, I changed my mind. I don't want to go to the army, and he just flat out said, "You'll never be anything." And he was like yelling, "You'll never be anything." And that just made me even more stubborn in saying, "No, I'm gonna figure out what I'm gonna do without actually knowing what I was gonna do." So yeah, after that, I jumped from one job to the next, to the next, to the next. And I had about, I would say, from 18 years old to about 20, 21 years old, I had about 17 to 19 different jobs. I just jumped from one job to the next. Quit several jobs, got terminated from several jobs. Like I said, I was very irresponsible. I wasn't disciplined at all. I just wasn't. And so not having that foundation in terms of income, my life was just scattered, and I leaned on my family, especially my sister, a lot to keep me afloat. And then it got to a point where you burn down all the bridges, like all of them in the entire city. You just burn the bridges down, figuratively speaking. And it's like looking in the mirror, "Hey, how you doing? I'm good. I'm just going into my story. This is my quote of the day, is guard your confidence. Because me having a bad start, having 17 and 19 jobs, different jobs, and by the span of 3 years, maybe 3.5 years, being very immature, it got to the point where it's like my family started giving up on me, like just different family members, just like, you're just not getting it. Like you're not maturing, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Now, granted, I had talent, right? I could have gone to school if I studied, but I didn't like to study. I didn't take school very seriously, and I thank God for my mom because my mom made sure I graduated high school, but I wasn't motivated to do anything. And then by the time I got to around 22 years old, I kind of looked at my life and thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I've had almost 20 different jobs. At that point, new employers were very hesitant to hire me because looking at my 5-6 page resume of all these different jobs I've had. And I would say from that point to when I got about 30 years old. So from 22 to 30, I was actually trying to mature and trying to stay on these jobs. And it got to the point where the only jobs I could get was the ones that no one really wanted. They were like terrible warehouse jobs, like terrible. So right now, I just turned 45. So yeah, I mean, it's crazy how time goes by. It's crazy how time goes by. But all this, my story is going to lead to the point back to confidence. So, 22 years old to 30 years old, I had fewer jobs, of course, but it got to a point where employers were saying, Eric, you're a good worker, but we don't, we, it was like, we don't need you here anymore. So, I got laid off. Like, when I was trying to keep jobs, it's like, well, we don't have a project for you anymore. I would get laid off, right? And so then I started thinking about, got into my late 20s. I started thinking about going to school. But of course, like I said, I was in high school. I didn't pay too much attention to my grades. I was terrible at studying. I didn't apply myself at all. So the colleges, the public universities wanted my ACTs, my SATs to get into school, which I didn't have and I didn't know how to study for. So, I have no idea how to do that. A song on in the background. Yeah, I would have to figure out how to add that to the channel. So, I would say I was about 30 years old, got, I think I left a job, a warehouse job, something like that. And it's like, I finally decided, okay, I'm gonna go to the Art Institute, and I started some classes in photography. I started some classes in animation. Ended up moving from South Florida to Southern Cal. And that's really when I had just a fresh start, and I started over. Now, granted, the Art Institute wasn't the best choice in terms of schools to go to, but I didn't find that out until after I was already out there. And yeah, I ended up graduating from there, coming back to Florida with a degree in graphic design, and couldn't get my feet under me, that type of thing. And so then I just went back into working in warehouses again, as I was before. And so, yeah, it was a very just difficult part of my life, because I felt like the mistakes I made from the age of like 18 to 21 years old, I felt like that turned into a life sentence at that point, to where I had dug myself a hole so deep that I couldn't get out of it, even though I was trying to. And so I remember, I think it was about 2017, around the fall 2017, I was still working, I was working at Johnson & Johnson, and coming to the end of my two-year contract out there working in the warehouse. Some kind of way I hurt my back, twisted my back, that type of thing. Didn't know it really until they laid me off from there. So yeah, so at that point I knew my back was hurt enough that I couldn't go back into warehouse jobs again. And so that's when I started learning data entry, which fast forward a few years led me to where I am now, where this year is the first time I'm working for a Fortune 500 company. And I've been there since February, so it's been like 9 months, almost 10 months or so, somewhere in there, 9 months. And it's very intimidating, because going through everything that I went through to get to this point, my confidence really took a beating, right? And so, like I said before at the start of the podcast, growing up, my confidence was taking a beating, you know, and again, letting the wrong people shape your identity, you know, you're going to look in the mirror and think you're not going to think much of yourself, right? And so even if you have an idea or you have a vision, you have a goal, you actually need confidence to go after it. But if you don't guard your confidence, you know, guard it from the wrong people, you know, influencing you, poking at you, you know, then when you have that idea to move forward on, you won't move, which is like you're failing before you even try, because up here you're already beat. And so you have to win the battle in your mind first before you can actually see success in reality. And so it's interesting, because like I said, now I'm working for a Fortune 500 company. Never have I worked in a company this size before. I got there in February of this year. It was extremely intimidating. The job that I applied for was entry level, And they take you through your exam, so like to see if you know the software. So I got like a 77% on the exam. So the recruiter didn't tell me that my score was too low for the job I applied for. So she forwarded my resume to the special projects manager of the company. I ended up getting that job, but the recruiter didn't tell me that's the job that I got. So when I went in day one thinking that, oh, I'm going to do that entry, I had to learn software, different company processes. They just threw me into the fire. And I was like, what is going on? What's going on? So very intimidating. But it got to a point where I guess in my life it's like, I can't quit. I can't quit because before my younger days, whenever I was faced with a challenge, that was my automatic thought process is, you know what, I can't handle this, I'm gonna go ahead and leave, right? So at this point in my life, I recognize when that challenge is coming at me. And so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna take on this challenge. I don't care how people are treating me or how upset someone gets. I'm gonna have to take my lumps. I'm gonna have to learn the UI, the user interface. I'm gonna have to learn the software. I'm gonna have to learn the processes as quickly as I possibly can. And I made it to lunchtime on my first day. Made it to lunchtime, went to lunch. It's funny because when I went to lunch, I was like, where's the time clock? And everyone's looking at me weird, like, what are you talking about? Like, for me, you go to work, you punch in, you punch out of the time clock. That's how it's been for what, 30 years? Almost 30 years of my life. But they're looking at me like, there's no clock. You leave at this time, we expect you to come back at this time, you put your time in on Friday. That's it. There is no punch in, punch out. There is none of this stuff. I'm just like, wow, this is different. So again, my mentality had to shift, right? My mentality had to come up to where everyone else is because they're used to working with all these multi-million dollar accounts, and I'm like shell-shocked. Like, I've never been on this level before, right? So I go to lunch. This is still the first day. I come back from lunch, and people in the office, I kid you not, are just staring at me. Now, mind you, my first 4 hours of my first day of that on the job was horrible. I didn't know what was going on. I was getting frustrated because I couldn't follow what was going on. I didn't know the software, all that type of stuff, right? So I get back from lunch, I put my stuff down at my cubicle, and everyone's staring at me. And apparently, some people in the office lost money because they bet that I wouldn't come back to work after I get off of lunch. They thought I was going to go to lunch and never come back to the job. Because apparently that's what some of the other assistants to the special manager, projects manager, that's what they did. She had assistants before on their first day. They went to lunch. They didn't come back. They were just like, I can't take all this pressure. I can't with all this. So that's what I felt, because that's what they told me. They just told me straight out, we didn't think you were going to come back from lunch. And I just looked around and I said, well, I'm having a tough day, but I need a job. I don't know what these other people are doing out to work. I need a job. I don't know what these other folks are doing. Made it through the first week, which was very long. The second week was a little better. The third week was a little better. So fast forward, now I'm in month, this is my 9th month on the job. My boss, she is on vacation overseas for 2 weeks. And she's left me by myself before. I don't even work for a specific department in the company. I'm basically just her assistant. And she's very demanding, very just whatever was on her mind, she's going to tell you. And I've had to learn how to hold my ground and stand up for myself without being disrespectful, right? Because yes, you have a title in the corporation over me, of course. I work for you, of course, but I'm not a 5-year-old, okay? I'm not 5. You know what I mean? So it's like I've had to learn how to stand up for myself in that way. And again, it goes back to confidence. That's really what it goes back to. Because you get into these, even if it's like a Zoom meeting and everyone has all these titles and they're making all this money and they have all these big name accounts, and I have to go in there like I'm on the bottom tier, right, as far as the corporate ladder, and I have to sit there like I'm on the same level as everyone else. Now, some people, it makes them uncomfortable when I do this. Some people, they get upset. And then everyone else is fine with it. You know, everyone else is fine with it. And then for me, I am very laid back, you know, because you go into the office, it can be very stressful. And people can be stressed out. And if something goes wrong or someone forgets something, I don't bring the hammer down on anyone. I don't say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did this or didn't do this or you forgot this. Like, I'm not going through all that. You know? So I make a point of treating people like adults. And when people make mistakes, I don't call them out. I don't drive the bus over them and all this. I don't go through all that stuff. It's like, no, it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary because we all make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, you don't want people to treat you mean or nasty or whatever the case is just because you made a mistake, because everybody makes mistakes. So with that approach, I've made quite a few friends in different departments. But then there are still people who are very just, they're going to look down on me just because of the title that I have or don't have within the company. And so this week with my boss gone and different folks asking me questions and everything, my main focus has been to guard my confidence, you know, guard my confidence and don't allow someone to tell you who you are or who you're not based on their thought process or how they look at you. So you have to know for yourself, this is who I am. This is my value. No one else can change that, no matter what title they have in front of their name. No one can change that. So you have to take that through life. You have to take that through life. You really do. Because if you're waiting for someone to come along and prop you up, No. No. It's not good. It's not good. So it's like never depending on someone else to give you confidence, to give you value or worth, or to boost your self-esteem. It's got to come from in here. You have to know for yourself without asking someone else or needing validation from someone else. You have to know who you are for yourself. So when all that stuff gets taken away, no one's patting you on the back, no one's cheering you on, no one's giving you encouragement, your confidence stays the same. It doesn't waver. But if your confidence just keeps going back and forth with wherever the wind blows or wherever the waves go, it's hard to accomplish things like that. So that's my encouragement for today. And of course, it's tough. It's tough to do. It's tough to live it out. So part of this is just reminding myself that is what I have to do on a daily basis. It's just hold on to that confidence. Just hold on to it. And of course, you're going to have extreme cases where certain people are going to try to tear you down for whatever reason. They don't like you. Like they'll go out of their way to show you up or say, oh, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, embarrass you in front of everyone else, that type of thing. That is also tough. But again, you have to stay the same. You can't move. So just I'll leave off with saying, decide where you want to be as far as your level of confidence and stay there. Don't let anybody or anything move you. Just take some time to reflect, figure out, okay, I don't want to be up here because then that goes to arrogance. I don't want to be down here because then it's like I'm not worth anything. So you just find this nice spot here, a healthy level of confidence, and say, okay, that's where I want to be and stay there. Just make up your mind that you're going to stay there. So thank you guys for listening. I hope to come back with more content because my book is in. So it's called Prison of Despair. Yes, I know that's not the most cheerful. It's not the most cheerful title that you've ever heard of, but this is all poetry. It starts in 2001 and goes to 2016, I believe. So yeah, this is the glossy cover, which is not very thick, and so I think that I'm gonna try the hardcover book. So it's a little bit more durable, have that available as well. But that's what it is. I put a link to it on the website. And gosh, that's all I have for today. But I want to do this more often because there's a lot of just emotions, you know. Especially with men, there's a lot of emotions that we have that we don't share verbally because it's completely uncomfortable. It's just uncomfortable. But I think it's necessary to talk about. it's necessary to talk about. So for me, I couldn't talk out my feelings. I started writing everything down. So I just started writing everything down, and was last month. This is like three separate collections of poetry that I merged into one last month. But there's a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot, and I just have to get my thoughts down. Because there's so much stuff I want to say, it just like all comes out at one time. And it's like, no, I don't want the podcast to be that long, right? So I have to break my thoughts up into pieces. But for sure, I just want to put more. I don't know if it's like inspiration or just honest dialogue on my social media channels and my website and the YouTube channel, because I think that's really helpful for people. But like I said, more so for men, because I just think there's conversations there that are necessary for us to have. So thank you for listening. I'm going to close with, here is the website, ericcjacksonstudio.com. On the Twitch page, it should be, the link is there on the channel, on my channel's homepage. But let me see here. Make sure it's here. Okay, so yeah, under creative writing, there is a link to the book. I'm looking into also having it on Amazon, and then also adding a PDF version available through the website, just in case people just want to buy the ebook version and download it. But yeah, so the website is coming along. I guess the only thing that I'll end with is I did get another partner for the studio. Let me bring up my Instagram. Here we go. Okay, so this is Turning Art. They did accept some pieces of my work, but they're an organization. From curation to installation, Turning Art provides turnkey art programming for organizations nationwide. I'm gonna see if I can already have the page saved. Yeah, so this is their service. This is their service. They represent artists, and then they just take our work and they promote it to, whether it's hospitals, corporations, you know, all types of organizations, they promote it to public spaces that need artwork. So this is what I submitted my work to. Let me see if I can bring up my page before I go. Here we go. All right, so this is my profile. So yeah, this is the homepage there. I think I've got 7 pieces available right now. But basically is I have to submit the work to them. They approve the pieces that they want. So far I've submitted about seven pieces, and they've approved them all so far. So yeah, I have to work on this now and submit more. But they have plenty of artists. So this is their Instagram. I did a little bit of digging to see if I could find places or platforms where I could sell my work through. And so this is what came up as one of the options for me. So I went ahead and did that. It takes about 2 weeks for them to look over your application. And then my partnership with Westcover is the other place, the other company I'm working with. I'm almost done updating the Westcover site because they have a profile for me as well. But yeah, that's basically what I'm working on. So once I get home from work, I work on the studio. It's between the fine art photography and writing. I like to do both. And then in my spare time, I like to play video games. Like, this is from Mario, which, gosh, I think I found it at Target. But definitely like playing video games. I just have less time to do that. But yeah. All right. So I have to put a schedule together on when I'm going to stream or create the podcast and then share those over to the YouTube channel, which is under the same name, Eric C. Jackson Studio.com or Eric C. Jackson Studio. It's on the same name on YouTube. Create a schedule, stick to it, and yeah, and go from there. And then the other thing, with the music that DB brought up earlier, I don't know. I've looked into it a little bit, but not much. But yeah, and part of me moving is to cut down on expenses because my commute to work round trip was about 43 to 45 miles a day, and my car was just getting beat up. So now my commute round trip is like 10 miles a day, which is really good. Like I say, it's more expensive here. The place is smaller, but everything's more convenient as far as shopping and all that stuff, right? And then I'll figure out, where I want to go from here, because this is not the space I want to use, for the studio. So I'm still digging, and gonna see what happens. But thank you guys for tuning in. Gosh, and then before I go, I want to give a shout out to my team, Michigan, for beating Ohio State for the third straight year. And I know there's been a lot of scandal or whatever with the cheating for the university, but I'm really happy with how they played. So I'm really happy how they played. Does anybody have questions before I go? Thank you guys for listening. And yeah, I really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. All right. Okay, so God bless everyone. Gosh. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a crazy week. Crazy, crazy week. But everybody take care. Really appreciate your listening, and have a good evening.